You are listening to One Nation Under Crime, a historical, chronological, true crime podcast. Each week, we go through our nation's history and discuss cases from each year, starting in 1800. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Leah.
And I'll go ahead and say now, before we hop into this episode, we don't know how long this intro is going to be.
Nope.
But if it does end up being incredibly long, I'll put a timestamp down in the show notes for you to be able to see, so you can kind of skip forward if you would like.
I know you've missed us.
Yeah, we still keep getting like podcast downloads, even though like we've kind of gone MIA for a while. So that's, I mean, obviously we still have listeners, so that's good.
And we're so thankful.
Yeah, it's We're back. We're going to be getting back to normal now.
Well, we're not normal.
Well, that's true. But at least a normal schedule.
Yes.
Of coming out with episodes. It has been wow.
We've had some life going on. Some life changes.
Some of us have moved. Some of us are in the process of changing jobs.
Some of us are moving on. And hey, by the way, I want to go ahead and clear the air. When I could not remember the word blacksmith in our episode, I had COVID at the time and I didn't know it. So that is my disclaimer. I am not stupid. I hadn't been feeling well and I was like, I'm not feeling great. I had COVID. I didn't know it, but COVID had found me. I just didn't know it yet. So I've been sick.
Sometimes life finds you in weird ways and you don't ever expect it to. But
not to be on my fanny, man.
We've had, an abnormal large amount of things going on.
Gosh, it's been crazy.
It's
2023, man.
Yeah, like just so many things have happened and have taken place, and we're glad to be back. So
yes, tag team back again.
I know last time I was like, I promise we're getting back to reggae. I really promise we are.
Because I've been pestering the stew out of it.
Yeah, well, and just things that were going on, like I had no spare time. Like by the time the day was over, I was like, I can't do anything else. I have to be done or lose my sanity.
I
don't have much sanity.
Nope.
So to lose what I have would be devastating to most,
yes,
I would say.
Yes.
So
we need her to just hold on to that little piece that she does have.
Yes. So we've had a lot going on and the world has had a lot going on.
Gosh, yes.
We haven't, been here to, which we don't really talk too much about current events or things like that. We kind of stay away from those things, but just, man, in general,
I've
a lot
been
of things
to
going
Disney
on.
Disney since the last time we've been together. I've been to Disney. I have busted my fanny in front of our entire youth group. Y'all, I had on a dress at the time. Praise the good Lord. It did not go up over my head because that would have been a sight.
I told Leah some people might have found that rude that it didn't.
I mean,
you never know. You never know.
It's something, but
that's true. We've had just so much going on.
We've had some things happen.
Now we're on the cusp of summer, which is crazy to say. We have a pool membership this year, so
I'll be visiting.
You can only visit so many times a year, apparently. It's kind of weird. They're like, if you visit over this amount, like, you have to buy a membership.
Well, if I get a different swimsuit, will I know?
Yeah, you have to, like, sign in and out, and you have to pay every time you visit.
What?
Yeah, they don't let in riffraff, so you're lucky to be invited.
Dang,
if you
commies.
Just saying. So it's
I don't like that. These rules.
Look,
I don't
they
like
keep
it.
Out the riffraff. And
I'm
so,
not riffraff.
I don't know.
I am a princess.
TBD. So one of the most polarizing things has occurred since we've spoken to y'all last, and it might surprise people that we are bringing up a current event at this time, but it's something that needs to be discussed. People have strong feelings on it, but I feel like it's only right for us to dive into controversy.
I mean, because it's us.
They closed Splash Mountain.
But they're bringing it back.
I know. So I will say this, and I'm totally joking. I will say the Disney forums are furious.
Really?
Like, there are people who are on both sides of the Splash Mountain debacle, we'll call it. I think it was time for a facelift. Mm-hmm. I don't, there are a lot of reasons that people speculate of why they're getting rid of it or why right. they're redoing it. And I'm not really speaking too much to those. In my personal opinion, I think the status of the world at times has gotten really, I don't know how to say this in a super PC way, but they're just really sensitive to things that have never really been an issue.
Very heavy on the cancel culture.
And cancel culture has become a big thing. And I'm not really speaking to that part of it. I don't know. I know people have come out on both sides of it from every perspective and from every side of everything.
And
people,
there are valid points.
Yeah. I mean, but I...
On all sides.
Regardless of that perspective, I do think it's time for a facelift of it.
Oh, sure.
I think there's a nostalgia factor. I mean, Space Mountain, iconic. One of the... And if you are on it when it breaks down... One of the coolest things you'll ever see, because they turn all the lights on and you can see everything. And,
you see what a tight space it is.
How close you are to everything.
Yes.
Do not put your arms up on that ride. but I mean, there's a nostalgia factor. Mm-hmm. I get it. There's a nostalgia factor. However, I do believe at some point you have to go, this is not current to the demographic that we're now
Correct.
Seeing. And I don't mean in a political way. I mean in an actual physical way.
Right.
Princess and the Frog has been out a while mm-hmm. now, if you really think about it. Yeah. And I mean, and she is a beloved Disney princess. Some people argue and say Tiana is not a princess, or she is or she isn't. She is. She married a prince. So there's that. But the kids that are they don't know Brer Rabbit. They know. So what's funny is they know Splash Mountain is just the ride. That's
right,
all they know it about.
They don't
know the story.
The movie is not out of the vault. It is in the vault, and it's not going to come out of the
exactly.
vault.
Exactly. And for those of you who don't recall the Disney vault, that's wild. It's
sad.
In the vault. And so it's wild because those kids don't. Mm-hmm. But what's even funnier is before the fantastic Eddie Murphy hit that is his best movie of all time, The Haunted Mansion, y'all got to hear half of my Unsolved Mysteries ringtone, but sorry about that. But the Haunted Mansion was just a ride before
right,
the movie.
Right.
And so, and now there's going to be another movie.
Yes.
I don't know how to feel about this because I have such loyalty. The Haunted Mansion movie, one, it's my favorite ride. It is of all time.
I sent Kayla so a picture of some 50th anniversary ears.
Yeah.
That were Haunted Mansion.
They're super
cute. I saw on the ears, it had the wallpaper, and I was like, those are Haunted Mansion ears.
Yeah.
I've got to go take a closer look. And I had to send them to her it was Haunted Mansion ears.
They're pretty cute. I don't like there's a little hat thing on it. I don't love it, but
I mean, the hat wasn't the best, but it was still Haunted Mansion ears. And
I love Haunted Mansion.
I had to show you.
And it is my favorite ride. It is honestly one of my favorite Disney movies as well. I could watch Haunted Mansion over and over again. It is, I don't know why, I think that it's such a good movie and I find it really funny. But so they're remaking it. But before there was the Eddie Murphy movie, the Haunted Mansion was just a ride.
Yeah.
And now Splash Mountain took the opposite, where it was a movie that became a ride, and now it's just a ride.
Yeah, because people don't know the movie. I mean, and that's where Zippity Doo-Dah came from. People don't realize that.
And people don't people now who grew up seeing the Haunted Mansion movie think, oh, well, the ride is because of the movie. No,
right.
The movie is because of the ride. Right. It's the opposite way around. So it's kind of different. And like with, yeah, I mean, you're not going to, that Br'er Rabbit, that's not going to come out. Like you can't, if you have it, you have it because you have it. Like you're not going to be able to find it really.
Right.
And unless you find it like crudely on YouTube or something, that's really the only way. But yeah. It's just so, you know, I get it from all sides, but also too, guys, like Disney, they have to constantly change things. They've got to make updates. They've got to change things. The Tron ride just opened.
Which apparently is awesome. Some of our group got to ride that when we went, and apparently it was really awesome.
Also, like the shortest ride.
I was going to say, but they did say it was so short. Like they had to wait in line, and then it was like zip.
Yeah, it's like
it was really short.
Super short,
but really cool. They really liked it. It was really cool, but it was really short.
I've watched the ride through video of it. I think it's fine. I've not seen Tron actually, so I would have to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did watch the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. That thing looks awesome.
People that have ridden it really liked it.
Yeah. I've also heard like if you are at all motion sick, do not and under any circumstances ride it. Because it's a roller coaster, but each car spins around.
Yeah.
So it's very unique, but this has been a topic of debate. People were selling Splash Mountain water on eBay for like hundreds of dollars.
That's ridiculous.
So
I will tell you
that's the hottest take that I'm going to take that's occurred in our world.
I have a friend, a newfound friend,
mm-hmm.
who may have a hookup with the mouse.
Knows how terrible you are. Okay.
What? What did you say?
Knows how terrible, great, delightful you are.
I'm going to kick you in your teeth. That's not nice. Actually, I'm 11 out of fighter. Anyway, she has a hookup with a mouse. She knows
Interesting.
Things.
Interesting.
I know. She's one of my new best friends because you ignored me. Anyway.
It happens.
It did. She was
my sad. Attention is it's, earned, not freely given.
Look.
Anyway, we know this.
Glossing over. and based on, we were discussing Splash Mountain mm-hmm. and the change and everything. And her opinion from time mm-hmm. being with the mouse was that because of the timeline given, she doesn't think it's going to be a huge overhaul.
I don't think it's going to be either.
The integrity
I think
is
you're
going
gonna,
to be the same. It's just going to be cosmetic. There,
it's just a facelift.
Exactly.
It's a facelift. They're going to redo the queue, which is where, for those who are not up on Disney Lingo, that's the ride. The ride queue is the line. So
right.
They'll update the queue to include mm-hmm. more
Princess
and
the Frog
stuff.
Yeah.
And the ride will continue. They'll update the ride. I do think that that is accurate. Honestly, if you're gonna update it to anything, that's the only thing you can update it to is Princess and the Frog.
I mean,
it's such a seamless,
right? It makes sense.
Change.
It makes sense.
And it does. And I, you know.
So the integrity of the ride is still going to be there. It's just going to...
It's
going to
be the same exact ride.
Exactly.
It's just
going to
have
different
characters. And they're going to go in and they're going to take out what's there and they're just going to create new scenes. That's
exactly.
But the ride is going to be exactly the same.
Exactly. So...
I mean, it's you know, they do that sometimes and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
I think it will. I mean,
I think it'll be fine.
Because it's still a fun ride. It's still, I mean, you know, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's a nostalgic thing. And I think that once, I mean, people don't like change in the first place.
Yeah.
I think, though, that once, I mean, to be perfectly honest, in all the times I've gone, I've ridden it once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was never something that I was like, I want to ride that. That was never on the top of my list. I think they're doing it to make it I want to ride that ride.
Well, sure.
And it hasn't been for a long, like, the wait for Splash Mountain, like, it hasn't been long. And that's kind of, I think, when they realize, like,
need to do something.
We need to do something.
Yeah. But also, isn't it a kind of quick ride? I've never ridden it.
It's,
I mean, because I've only been to Disney, you know, I did not for the first time when I was 42.
It's not quick. It's your typical log flume ride.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
There's a pretty good bit to it. Like, it's one of those that kind of trips you up where you think, like, oh, is this the drop? And then it kind of does that thing where it goes up and it's like, oh, nope. And you kind of, like, go around an edge. So, I mean, there's the ride itself. I mean, it's not short, but it's not, you know, super long either. Like it's probably 4 to 5-ish minutes.
Okay.
And
how many, I wonder how many logs they have going.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. So even if there are a lot of people, they have,
it's a lot. I mean, it's just like, it's just like pirates.
Yeah.
Except the flume, you can only have like so many people in it, but it's just it's constantly going because it's a constant scene, just like pirates. So as you go through, it's just a constant,
you know,
as it goes on.
You know, my drama with pirates when my husband and I went.
Oh, God.
There was a lady in
line. Oh, yeah. You told me about
that. With her, quote, service dog. And y'all, people do have service dogs. And, there are real service dogs. And then there are people who go on Amazon and buy a service dog vest. Those are not real service dogs.
Yeah, and Disney has some pretty strict rules on service pets, but there are ways you can get around those rules.
And y'all,
true service pets are very
well trained,
disciplined.
Yes, and if you have a service dog animal, then you also are trained to, you know, take care of things that your service animal does. Y'all, they let this little dog, which was a precious little dog, and it's not the dog's fault at all. It was like a what's the snub nose? I can't think of what it is.
A pug?
Not a pug. No, with a lots of hair. Oh, good grief.
Oh, a Shih Tzu.
Yes, like a Shih Tzu mix.
I have nothing. I don't love Shih Tzus. I have nothing personally against them. Like we don't have beef, but I don't love them as dogs.
Yeah, because I have had Shih Tzus.
I don't like unnecessary noises that animals make.
Who I have loved, but that's not going to be the breed of choice for me because of the unnecessary noises.
I don't like the unnecessary noises.
But they let this dog poop while we were in line, and they did nothing with the excrement.
Yeah, that's that I have. And that would not occur if it were a service, because the service pet would alert that, like, it's well known. Like, they're very disciplined animals.
Or if you're going to have an animal with you, then you're
you
going
should
to have
be able
a
to
bag.
Have, yeah, which you should.
Yes. And so my husband wouldn't let me say anything. I was fit to be tied. He wouldn't let me say anything. And so the first cast member that we came to was like, the people in front of us with the dog, they let it go in line way back there, didn't pick it up. Hopefully nobody stepped in it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have areas in the park specifically for that.
I mean, like, people, come on, pick up after your animals.
Yeah, it's a tragedy, but
we went down a rabbit trail. I'm sorry, but
we had to speak of the recent controversy in the world that was the closing of Splash Mountain. So
and then
that
it took
was
us
necessary.
Down that little trail. I apologize.
It's fine. It was necessary. I hope to get back to the mouse at some point.
I'm ready to go now.
We'll see.
I now have 3 pair of ears. I'm going to need a stand for all of my ears.
The amount of videos that I've seen of people that have like tons and tons and tons of ears is astonishing.
I mean, like, I'm going to have to plan outfits around ears now.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole group.
I mean, I have one pair. I have one classic pair, like just black and white bow, because classic.
Mm-hmm.
I have one 50th anniversary gold and white.
The new ones.
Golden cream that light up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another pair of 50th anniversary because I got to go again when they were still celebrating 50th anniversary that have fireworks on them. And instead of a bow in the middle, it's a little gold castle. And the fireworks glow in the dark.
There's a person on Etsy, maybe, that sells moving ears.
What?
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Like, the ears themselves will be, like, it'll kind of look like the inside of, like, a clock. How, like, the clock, you know, moves.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It'll be, like, Peter Pan ears. And they have, like, yeah. But the ears themselves. And I want to say the something like the Etsy thing is, like, moving ears. Something.
Yeah, but see, I want to buy them at the park. I want to be park ears. There's something about buying them at the park.
Yeah, but sometimes if you're looking for specific ears, like I wouldn't get Haunted Mansion ears there because I don't like the Haunted Mansion ears that they have. I'm very particular about things.
But they have other kinds. I just happen to see those.
I've seen them.
Yes.
I don't love all of them.
No. There's some that you're like, ah.
And they just released the dates for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which I've been to, and it was a lot of fun.
I'd go to that. Let's do that.
It's very fun, and if you're gonna go at a time that it is available, like that there's a night that they're having it, it is an extra ticket, and you do like it's an extra ticketed event, which is understandable.
I mean, yeah,
just like Food and Wine Festival is and stuff like that. But
which I would also love to go to.
It's a really good time to ride the rides.
Oh sure, because there everybody's aren't as many people.
Doing the other stuff. But it's really fun. So I would highly suggest it. And yeah.
I just want to go to Disney.
It's so much fun. My boyfriend is slowly figuring out that I'm a Disney adult. And, you know, I waited two years. And honestly, it's on him at this point. I was talking to my coworker, who I absolutely adore. And she said, it was a bold move of you to hide your Disney adultness for 2 years. And I was like, look, I had a plan. And she was like, it could have backfired. And I was like, it could have.
She played the long game.
But yeah, I was like, I played the long game. And it's really paying off, honestly, because I'll talk about it. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you don't know about this. And he's like, no. Like, I told him my fun fact of Tower of Terror, and he was like, I mean, I'm sure that's how they do it. Yeah, I would think that. And I was like, mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know that, and I think it's a fun fact. So, FYI. He was like, yeah, I mean, just the way that gravity works. I would, and I was like, no, you wouldn't. Because how do you think Tower of Terror worked? Did you ride it when
yes,
you were there?
Yes, and I loved it.
So, for those who don't know, it's a drop ride. Like, yes, you go through
so
such
fun.
A fun ride. You've been on it, much like I have. How, like, to you, it drops. Like, right? You get up there, you're in, like, basically an elevator, which is most people's nightmare, and it drops, right? Mm-hmm. And then it catches you, and you come up, drop again, catches you, come up. So to me, it's kind of like a claw machine, like a regulated claw machine.
Okay. Okay.
That kind of like picks you up and drops you, right? Like there's brakes to stop you.
Right.
But you're dropped, right?
Okay.
That's not how the ride works.
Okay.
It works in the sense that there is so much control and pressure pushing down the elevator that it makes you feel like you're free falling,
but
you're never free falling ever.
Huh.
It's all a complete control that it's pushing you down with that much force to a certain extent.
That's interesting.
And they're randomized. Like the drops are all randomized.
Right.
But there's like sequences, but yeah, they're all, it just pushes you down with such force that you feel like you are free falling, but you're never free falling. And I was like, somehow that makes me feel a lot better because I took the kiddos to the fair.
Uh-oh.
And the boy of our group goes, they get on one of those rides that's like, it kind of looks like a ship, and then it kind of like seesaws back and forth, and then like you get up to one side. So that was the first like ride that they got on at the fair. And he gets off and he goes, I didn't like it.
Uh-oh.
And he's like, I don't want to ride any more rides.
Oh no.
And I was like, no.
This is bad.
And he was like, I don't like the way it makes me feel. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, I don't like the way it makes me feel. And I was like, oh, it makes you feel. He goes, my butt came off the seat. And I was like, well, yeah, dude. Like, that's. And he goes, I didn't like it. So we had to get him to go on another ride. When he got on the next one, he was okay. But he was like, I don't like that feeling. And I was like, buddy, sorry. And his dad was telling him, he was like, dude, if you ever want to be able to go to Disney World, you're gonna have to get over it. Like, you're gonna
he brought out the big guns.
Yeah, because he was like, what are you gonna do, wait in line and not get on?
Oh yeah.
And so, because we've like tossed back and forth the idea of going, and the kind of like, we've told the kids, we're like, we're not going this year, like it's too close to us going. We gotta, you know, we go visit his dad. And so we end up going like to South Florida, and they're like, oh, well, are we gonna? We're like, no, we're not, like, we're not doing that this year. Yeah, and so we told him
that's not the goal.
Yeah, we told him, we were like, if you ever want to be able to do that, especially go to Universal.
Yeah.
Because you will not make it at Universal.
Oh my gosh, the Hulk ride. Oh my gosh.
I know. That was my first upside down roller coaster. Thanks, Mom.
That is a major roller coaster.
Yeah, thanks, Mom. You should have seen. So now it used to be called the Dueling Dragons, but now it's the Harry Potter ride. That's the two. It used to be called Fire and Ice. And there's two sides that you can get on for Harry Potter. And it's still a dragon ride, but they like redid it. And you can walk past Hagrid's hut and everything like that. So, but before there was Harry Potter World, they just had, it was just Fire and Ice. And she was dragging me, not kidding you, dragging me on that ride. I was screaming because I had just gotten off of the Hulk.
Oh, that is a ride.
And I had never been on an upside down roller coaster.
Oh, that is a ride too.
And I was
like, it slingshots you.
Screaming. Not only does it slingshot you like a rock and roller coaster, but you were slung shot out of a cannon, essentially, and then immediately flipped upside down. I don't mean, it's not one of those that you go out and then you go down. You go out, corkscrew over to where you are looking straight at the ground.
I absolutely
and
loved it.
Oh, it was great after the shock wore off. But like, my gosh. So yeah, we're like,
it's one of my favorites.
We're like, dude, you especially can't go to Universal because all of those rides have some component of the weird feeling. So when we got him on something else, he was a little better, but it was, I was like, yeah, dude, it's going to be a lot of It's a Small World for you. And he was like,
which is a good ride. You have to ride it at least once.
Oh,
it's
a good ride. You have to ride it at least once, but like no more than that.
I like it.
The little things creep me out sometimes.
Really?
I can't look at them too closely. They're too anthropomorphic for me.
They have updated it. Like they've updated all of them. It's a lot cleaner and nicer.
They're too anthropomorphic.
I think
for me.
They're adorable.
I don't like dolls that look too creepy because they're going to wake up and murder you. It's going to happen. You buy what, little Elizabeth? And she looks like this nice little Victorian porcelain doll, but the soul of a child is trapped inside of her, and she's gonna kill you. And you're like, I'm not okay with that. And the little things on It's a Small World, one, that song is creepy. If you thought of like It's a Small World, like slowed down and distorted, and then those things, it's creepy, is it not? It's creepy. It makes it a whole new ride, and it makes it a horror show for everyone involved.
That would be my husband's nightmare.
And it's like,
he would die.
And honestly, TM Disney, if you try to take that idea from me for Halloween time, because, yeah, you shut all the lights off in it, turn on some black lights, make them light up, and then distort the voices, slow it down, have it playing over itself with, like, creepy piano music.
But see, it's cherubs that get me. I don't like cherubs. Cherubs are creepy to
me. It's the same thing. They're the same category to me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and I don't like it. Sinister Hood, Christy on Sinister Hood has a problem with dolls.
Yeah. I don't like them. I don't like stuffed animals with kids' faces. That creeps me out. Those creep me out.
Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know. I don't like that.
The other thing that creeps me out is when people are like, oh, it's a doll with real hair. What?
Like,
Where did the hair come from?
Why not make that into a wig for somebody with alopecia?
Well, some people, they can't. I mean, I've donated my hair multiple times. And right. There's reasons. Anyways, be very careful donating your hair because they can now test DNA and they don't need the hair follicle. So just in case somebody gets a wig and commits a crime with your hair.
Yes. Just FYI. Yes. But I'm just saying.
But sometimes they'll say they can't use it but the companies that end up you donate to, if they can't use it, they sell your hair.
Awesome.
So fun times. We're at 31 minutes, you know, so we'll go ahead and hop on into our episode for this week. So we are in the year 1862 this week. So a lot of Civil War stuff going on. Still that time. So our sources for this week, the Warfare History Network.
Well, makes sense.
And American Battlefield Trust.
Oh.
So a lot of interesting information. Our next two episodes in particular, this one and the next one, will be kind of heavy in some info. With Civil War, specifically the cases we're going to cover, are going to kind of embed themselves there. So we're going to start kind of like we did last time, where we split up the events in each year so that we have kind of compiling all the Civil War stuff together. Okay. And then the next section will be kind of the other events that occurred in that year.
Other.
So, yeah, I just put 1862, Civil War continues. And I'm breaking them down into months just because it's a lot of dates and a lot of things are going on. So in February of that year, General Ulysses S. Grant, sounds familiar, gave the Union Army its first major victory of the war by capturing Fort Henry in Tennessee. At the same time, Fort Donelson in Tennessee, was attacked and taken by Union forces. In March, the Confederates are shut out of Missouri with the Battle of Pea Ridge. The Battle of Hampton Roads occurred, which was the first battle between two ironclad warships.
Cool.
And those were the USS Monitor and the CSS Virginia. So USS, United States, CSS, Confederate. Mm-hmm. The U.S. federal government forbade all Union Army officers from returning fugitive slaves, effectively annulling the Fugitive Slave Law of 1850. And if you remember, that was the law where they were like, hey, if you see anybody who fled, you're
gotta send them back.
Required to take them back. You can't let them go free.
To their owner.
Quote unquote, yes.
Yes, I had the air quotes.
Sarcastic, yeah. In April of that year, the Battle of Fort Pulaski took place, and the Union blockade closed Savannah, Georgia. The Parrot rifle, a field artillery weapon, demonstrated its ability to make masonry forts obsolete. And also in April, Union volunteers steal Confederate steam railroad locomotive, the General, in an attempt to sabotage the Western and Atlantic Railroad.
Hmm.
In June, Robert E. Lee took charge of the Army of Northern Virginia. The Confederate troops evacuated Fort Pillow.
A pillow fort
on the Mississippi River, leaving the way clear for Union troops to take Memphis, Tennessee. In September, the Confederacy's first invasion of the North occurred. General Robert E. Lee leads 55,000 men of the Army of Northern Virginia across the Potomac at the White's Ford near Leesburg into Maryland. And the Allegheny Arsenal explosion resulted in the single largest civilian disaster during the war, with 78 workers killed.
You never want civilian casualties.
Most of those were young women.
Oh, that's even worse.
And in December of that year, President Abraham Lincoln signed an act that admitted West Virginia to the Union, thus dividing Virginia in two. We'll come back to this in a little bit. Because I have some interesting information when it comes to the Virginias and some things that are going on. We're not in Virginia this week, but just some additional info that I found about that. So our general events that occurred in 1863, January 31st, Alvin Graham Clark made the first observation of Sirius B, a white dwarf star, through an 18-inch telescope at Northwestern University.
Okay.
February 1st, Julia Ward Howe's Battle Hymn of the Republic was published for the first time in Atlantic Monthly.
I recognize that name.
April 8th, John D. Lind patented the aerosol dispenser.
I wouldn't think that it went back that far.
I did not think so either.
That's intriguing.
April 16th, slavery in Washington, D.C. Ended when the District of Columbia Compensated Emancipation Act, just that long thing, became a law. May 2nd, the California State Normal School.
A normal school? So normal there's an school. Abnormal school?
Maybe.
If there is a normal school, there has to be an abnormal
school. Well, it was later renamed, and it's now San Jose State, was created by an act of the California legislature.
Normal school, normal San school. Jose State.
University, whatever. Same thing. May 15th, President Abraham Lincoln signed a bill into law creating the United States Bureau of Agriculture, which was later renamed the Department of Agriculture.
Well.
May 20th, President Abraham Lincoln again signed the Homestead Act into law, which was to provide cheap land for the settlement of the America West. June 5th, he signed another bill into law, allowing for the appointment of U.S. diplomats to Liberia and Haiti. This was the first time Congress had recognized an almost wholly black government. So very interesting.
Progress made.
June 12th, John Winter Robinson, Secretary of State of Kansas, was convicted and removed from office as the result of a bond scandal, becoming the first state executive officer to be impeached and removed from office in U.S. history.
Impeached. And removed.
And removed. Yep. June 19th, Congress passed legislation outlawing slavery in U.S. territories. So not even territories you could at this point either. Signed into law.
Very good. We're getting rid of it everywhere.
We're trying. We're progressing in that direction.
Yes, yes.
Much like the carousel of progress at Disney World. Anyways, July 2nd, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Morrill Land Grant Act into law, creating land grant colleges to teach agricultural and mechanical sciences across the U.S.
That's a great idea.
July 8th, Theodore Timby. That's a fun name.
Timby.
Timby. Yes, that was it's a fun name.
I want to name an animal Timby.
I have a Theo.
Yep.
So there's that.
You need to get another cat named Timby.
The 17-pound.
He is a sweet boy, though. He is. And he has the tiniest meow.
He goes, yeah. I'm like, dude, no.
He's
come
a
on.
Huge cat. My mother's cat is huge, massive. And his name is Squeaks because his meow is
that's
like that.
So funny. Well, he's a British short hair. This is another thing that's gone on in our lives. And he is massive. The vet, he's huge.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Like, yeah.
Squeaks is huge. He's a tuxedo, but yeah, Squeaks. His name is Squeaks, but he's a huge cat.
This cat has got the biggest paws I've ever seen. And it's funny because we'll let him in the house now. And his paws, because he's lived outside for so long, they're like calloused from him walking around. Well, you'll hear it on the hardwood floor.
Right.
Because you can hear everywhere he walks because his little paws keep slapping the floor. So it's really funny. It's really cute. Well, I don't think that this Theo had paws that click when he walks across the floor. But
a little bit of a segue there.
Theodore Timby was granted a U.S. patent for discharging guns in a revolving turret using electricity.
Oh.
Still a new thing at this point.
Electricity. Super exciting.
So, you know.
Okay, where's that from? Electricity. Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, I was thinking that, and then I was like,
uncultured swine.
I remember the math ones very well. And conjunction, junction, what's your function?
That's a good one too.
So anyways.
I'm just a girl.
Yes, of course. Everybody knows that one.
Okay.
July 10th, the U.S. began construction of the Central Pacific Railroad.
Not specific, Pacific. But Pacific.
July 4th, the 8th President of the United States, U.S. Martin Van... Of the U... 8th President of the U.S. Of course he was. Martin Van Buren died in Kinderhook, New York at the age... of 79.
That's pretty good. That's a good run.
July 29th, Confederate spy Belle Boyd.
That's fun.
Was arrested by Union forces after her lover betrayed her.
Uh-oh.
Yikes.
Uh-oh.
That was an awkward conversation. September 23rd, President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation.
I've heard of that.
Or Proclamation, if you remember me saying that several episodes back, was published in Northern newspapers. November 4th, American inventor, you'll know this, Richard Jordan Gatling, patented the hand cranked Gatling machine gun in Indianapolis.
Hey, and they have those on ships.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're pretty stinking awesome.
They're
to behold.
Crazy to see, honestly. December 2nd, the first U.S. Navy hospital ships entered service. So the first hospital ships.
They are the Mercy and the Comfort. One is on the East Coast and one is on the West Coast currently.
There you go.
You're welcome.
December 17th, the General Order Number 11 was issued by Ulysses S. Grant. Okay.
Uh-oh.
There's issues with this.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have a lot of thoughts. If you could see your face, you would know. Kayla has thoughts that she's trying to think of the right words.
He goes on to become president. I just want to make sure everyone knows that that's abundantly clear.
Okay.
So it was issued on December 17th, but then later rescinded, correct? All right. So just need to know that he issued it to begin with. Got it?
Got it.
You may be asking yourself, okay, so what is General Order Number 11? It was a controversial order issued during the Vicksburg campaign. The order expelled all Jewish people.
Oh, no.
From Grant's military district that comprised of areas in Tennessee, Mississippi, and Kentucky.
That's Grant unfortunate.
Issued the order in an effort to reduce Union military corruption and
Yikes.
Stop an illicit trade of Southern cotton, which Grant thought was being run, quote, mostly by Jews and other unprincipled traitors.
Oh.
Again, this order was rescinded not long after. So he essentially said, if you're Jewish, you have way too many ties to the North. And so if you're in these areas, you got to go.
Yikes.
Like, wow. Okay.
Painting with a broad brush there?
Yeah. Again, he goes on to be president. I don't know much about his presidency, but this isn't a good start.
Well, I'm not agreeing with that decree that was made.
Yeah.
I will say that at that time, merchants were mostly, if you were Jewish, you were usually a merchant or some sort of business owner.
Correct.
So I can see.
I think it's
where
hard
he was.
To say though. So you clearly have ties to the North.
Right.
So you need to go.
Right. I mean, I can see where he could.
I think he was grasping.
Thinking something. But
he was grasping.
Yeah, but I think he went a little crazy.
He was grasping.
Yes, absolutely.
And
but I can see where his thought process would have started. But that was pretty ridiculous.
It should have stopped there then.
Oh, it should have stopped. Like, absolutely. He went too far.
Crazy.
But, I mean, you can see
it's wild.
Where it started. But yeah, that was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
December 25th of this year.
That's Christmas.
Not quite yet. I don't think it's been officially. Maybe it has. I think it's actually, no, Alabama was the first one to name it an official holiday. So I don't think federally it's a holiday yet. Anyway.
December 25th, it's Christmas.
40,000. 40,000.
So that's a little bit.
Watched Union Army men play baseball at Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Oh.
Which just makes me think of Top Gun.
Yeah.
I saw the new one.
Yeah, it was good.
I knew what.
You knew what it was going to be.
I made a guess at exactly what the movie was going to be
but
about.
But it was still really well done.
It was well done. But I'm just saying two things. Tom Cruise has a tooth in the middle of his face. I'll never unsee it. Number two. I brought that up to my boyfriend and he was like, no, he doesn't. And then he went, oh my God, I can't unsee it.
You can't.
Two, you know, in his contract for the second Top Gun, he was like, yeah, I'll do it, but there's got to be a volleyball scene, another one, and I will not be wearing a shirt. So I don't care of my age. I want people to still see this. In all of its glory, and that has to be if there is no volleyball scene, I walk.
Yeah,
and there is no Top Gun without me.
I mean, you have to have that scene. You have to.
I've always thought Miles Teller was adorable, so I was happy with him. I don't like the mustache, but I was happy with him in it.
I know, and my brother has grown that same mustache, and I'm like, dude, there's something on your lip.
I
know, but
it's a lot.
Those Navy guys do it. They just do it. And you're like, dude. But
I think it's all military that does it eventually. I know someone who's National Guard. They did it. I know Army. It's I don't understand it.
And
but
you're like, honey, you are so cute. Why do you gotta put that on your face?
And what's funny is so many of them have to have those like military issue glasses. So you already look like those fake glasses that had the mustache on them to begin with. And you're just leaning into it. Because your mustache.
My brother has to have the glasses.
Yeah, because your mustache has to be like within quote regulation.
Right.
So
right.
They all look the same. So you have to have, and you look like you're wearing some of those fake glasses with the mustache on them.
Oh.
Because those glasses look just like it.
Oh.
They're like the thick rimmed Coke bottle glasses. Anyway. Moving on. September 29th of 1862, just 2 days after turning 38, Major General William Bull Nelson was shot and killed by fellow Union General Jefferson C. Davis, not that one, in the Galt House in Louisville, Kentucky.
Was it a duel?
No.
Was it over a woman?
No.
Was it accidental?
No.
Was it over cards?
Nope.
Well, what was it over?
Yeah, you will find out. So we have not been in Louisville, Kentucky quite yet, but we've been close back in the Beauchamp Sharp tragedy episode where we were in Frankfort, Kentucky. Well, Kentucky, and I told you this would kind of come back, Kentucky is a commonwealth.
Okay.
And just like not all whiskey is bourbon, but all bourbon is whiskey, all commonwealths are states, but not all states are commonwealths.
Correct.
So there is the Commonwealth of Virginia. Like Virginia is a commonwealth, Kentucky is a commonwealth. So I was kind of looking at it and I was like, what's the difference? Well, technically speaking, there is no difference. Like, really.
Well, thank you for clearing that up.
You know, yeah, it's really, as far as in regards to their relationship with the government or their official statehood, there's no difference.
Okay.
Commonwealth originally meant that an area was governed by the people and not a monarchy. So during the American Revolution, the colonies of Massachusetts, Virginia, and Pennsylvania declared themselves commonwealths.
By the people, for the people, of the people.
Which signaled that they were no longer governed by the British monarchy, but they were an independent republic of that. So that's why they were originally called commonwealths.
Gotcha.
At the time, Kentucky was a part of Virginia. So when Kentucky branched off in 1790... it separated from Kentucky, and Virginia chose to retain the name of the Commonwealth. Now, you might have noticed that Kentucky was a part of Virginia, but so was West Virginia.
That is one huge Commonwealth.
Lot, right?
I mean, that is a lot.
It's huge.
A lot.
So, if
I mean,
you,
is that bigger than Texas? I mean, if you think about it,
no, I don't think so.
That's still huge. Anyway, continue. I just had a thought.
So, as you noticed earlier, I said that West Virginia became a state.
Mm-hmm.
So, why didn't West Virginia become a commonwealth?
Because they didn't want to.
Well, during the Civil War, Virginia seceded from the Union and became a Confederate state. Well, West Virginia seceded from Virginia and decided to join the Union side. And at that time, they didn't establish themselves as a commonwealth. So instead, they're just a state.
Well, there you go. Now you know.
Also, for our international listeners, or hey, just those on the West Coast. Yes, West Virginia is a state, not just the western side of Virginia.
Correct.
Because
there's not an East Virginia.
You would be surprised at the people that think that it's just the western part of Virginia. For some reason, like North and South Carolina, the Dakotas, all of that are accepted. But like Virginia somehow is like, people are like, oh, yeah, that's western Virginia. No. It's West Virginia. I understand the confusion. However, just FYI,
we can't do things.
If someone says they're from West Virginia, they're not just being, it's not like saying I'm from West Texas. Like
correct.
That's not the same thing.
Correct.
Or
like Central Alabama.
Yeah. That's not at all the same thing. So, which honestly, I really would have liked if there were three Carolinas, South, North, and Central.
You know,
it would have made sense, but it's rude. They didn't ask my opinion.
Whatever.
So, Louisville is the largest city in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. It's located on the northern border and almost, honestly, almost in Indiana. And it's it's a bridge that separates Louisville from Indiana. Like,
wow.
it's that close, which is interesting because usually you don't see like big areas like that. It's huge. It is the 6th most populated city in the Southeast and the 28th largest in the United States. The city is named after King Louis the 16th and was founded in 1778 by George Rogers Clark and makes it one of the oldest cities west of the Appalachian Mountains. Appalachian, always just think, throw an Appalachia. People from that area do get offended. Some people say Appalachian, but I think Appalachian is what most people prefer.
Correct.
Just like Colorado. I still say Colorado, but.
Yeah.
And Nevada. It's Nevada. So Appalachian. Just make sure everybody gets that. Louisville was originally a portage site on the Ohio River. With the Falls of Ohio right nearby, Louisville became a location for transferring goods from one part of the river to another on land because an obstruction didn't allow a watercraft to pass through. So that's what a portage is. Like, you hear of a port city,
mm-hmm.
and a port city is where there's an actual port. Well, a portage city mm-hmm. means that essentially, like, there was a waterfall. And they had to take everything off of one ship down to another area and reload it so that it can continue down.
Okay.
So that's the difference between portage.
I've learned something in this too.
There you go. You're about to learn more. this also effectively allowed the city to be the center. This was made at the center of Louisville and the Nashville Railroad, which grew to 6,000 miles across 13 states. Since 2003, Louisville's borders have been the same as Jefferson County after there was a city-county merger. So this is kind of a little bit different. The official name of the consolidated city-county government is the Louisville-Jefferson County Metro Government, abbreviated to Louisville Metro, just like we have Birmingham Metro here.
Yeah.
The Louisville-Jefferson County, Kentucky, Indiana Metropolitan Statistical Area.
Goodness gracious.
Or the MSA includes Louisville-Jefferson County and 12 surrounding counties, 7 in Kentucky and 5 in southern Indiana. As of 2019, the MSA had a population of 1.3 million.
Goodness, people. That's a lot of people.
Today, Louisville is known for the Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the University of Louisville, and its Cardinals, the Louisville Slugger baseball bats, and 3 of Kentucky's 6 Fortune 500 companies, Humana, Kindred Healthcare, and Yum Brands.
Okay.
Do you know?
The Muffin Man?
Yum Brands.
I've heard.
You do.
I've heard, but give me specifics, because I've heard of it, but I can't tell
KFC.
You.
KFC.
Okay.
Pizza Hut.
Okay.
And the, I cannot stress enough, most important of all fast food chains, even over Chick-fil-A, Taco Bell.
I had Taco Bell.
I have Taco Bell.
Day before yesterday.
1 to 2 times a week. I'm not even lying.
And do you know, what is your go-to order?
I love Taco Bell.
What's your go-to?
A quesadilla.
You know, mine's off the dollar menu.
Really?
Yes. I get the cheesy bean and rice burrito. Dollar menu, so filling.
And yeah, I prefer the steak quesadilla, and then I get a side of cheesy fiesta potatoes that are quite delicious. So that's kind of where my head is at right now. They have nacho fries. Run, don't walk.
But with my delicious cheesy bean and rice burrito, I usually get cinnamon twists too. They're also on the dollar menu.
Yeah, it's cinnamon twists. There's something that, I don't know. I like the cinnamon bites better.
See? But I'm a cheap date.
Yeah, no,
when I go to Taco Bell.
No, I'm not.
But
I'm not a cheap date.
That's my go-to.
I have embarrassing number of Taco Bell points.
If I'm feeling fancy, if I'm feeling froggy, want to step out a little bit. Mexican pizza. I was so happy when they brought it back.
A lot of people were.
So happy.
So yes, that is Yum Brands. That's Taco Bell, KFC, and Pizza Hut, which is why you'll see those stores merge together sometimes.
Yes.
In places. So there is a huge list of notable folks who have called Louisville home at some point. So we'll just touch on a few from each category, because that's how many there are.
Oh, dear.
First up, entertainers and actors. We have, just like we discussed, Tom Cruise. I'm making it canon now. I'm saying that he threatened to walk if there was not a volleyball scene in the second Top Gun. I'm making sure that it's known.
Sorry.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I like her.
Tom London, who actually holds like a Guinness World Record for being in the most movies at like 600 movies.
Wow.
Rob Riggle, Diane Sawyer, and Nicole Scherzinger. Lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls. Just
okay.
Making sure. Telling you to loosen up. Anyways, we have artist Don Rosa, known for illustrating everything comes back to Disney, Scrooge McDuck, and Donald Duck, as well as other characters. Business moguls, including Moses Basinger, who is responsible for the rules and regulations of bowling.
I stink at that sport.
We also have Ulysses Junior Bridgman. He's an NBA player and now the owner of Ebony Magazine. Herbert Marcus and Carrie Marcus Neiman, the founders of Neiman Marcus.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Colonel Harland Sanders, a.k.a. the infamous Colonel Sanders. John Schnatter, a.k.a. Papa John.
Oh, okay.
And distiller Evan Williams. Musicians, we have Jack Harlow, Mildred and Patty Hill, who are the composers of Happy Birthday to You.
Ah.
Patty Loveless, Static Major, and David Grissom, guitarist for John Mellencamp and the Allman Brothers. Then we have, I told you, this is just a small sample of who all was on that list. Then we have Edwin Hubble, the namesake of the Hubble Space Telescope, George DeVol, inventor of the first industrial robot, multiple heavyweight champion and sports icon Muhammad Ali, Eugene Ulrich, theologist and chief editor for the interpretation of the Dead Sea Scrolls, Laura Miller Deary, the first woman to defend a court-martial case brought forth by the U.S. Army.
Wow.
And last, but certainly not least, and probably the most interesting person I'm going to include on this list, possibly this podcast, journalist, author, longtime contributing writer to the Rolling Stones, the man who lived for a year as a Hell's Angel just to write a firsthand account of their lives, the man who was the inspiration for the movies where the Buffalo Roam starring Bill Murray and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas starring Johnny Depp, the man, the legend, and certainly not a myth, drumroll please, Hunter S. Thompson.
Well, there you go.
He is fascinating.
Sounds like it.
How this man did not keel over before he did is honestly an enigma.
He had two different movies made after him.
So Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, yes, with Johnny Depp, is after him. Where the Buffalo Roam, Bill Murray, also the Bill Murray movie was before the Johnny Depp one. Mm-hmm. Johnny Depp actually he was like best friends with Hunter S. Thompson before Hunter S. Thompson died. Johnny Depp actually paid for Hunter S. Thompson's funeral gathering that he wanted his ashes shot into a rocket into outer space.
Oh, wow.
Just if you don't know anything about Hunter S. Thompson, just take a deep dive into what his life, like, just one, a very tortured soul, clearly by his choices that he made in some ways or another. And also just brilliant in he was so effortless in writing, like just so, I mean, he lived with the Hell's Angels just to write stories about them. And like,
that's deep.
They knew. Like, he wasn't undercover, from my understanding. Like, he just wrote stories about their lives. Yikes. So it's wild. But yeah, he was also from Louisville, which I just found interesting, then went on a Hunter S. Thompson dive, which I already knew a lot about him because my boyfriend has showed me tons of videos about Hunter S. Thompson. So that's how I do know about him. But we're going to go on to General William Bull Nelson. I chose to put in this case because I think that during the time of the Civil War, most people only focus on the war itself. While that is a main focus, there are also other infighting situations that are also kind of pushed aside and overshadowed by the Civil War. And this is certainly one of them. That I'm sure a lot of people don't know about. There are two others that also occurred that we are going to cover in the next episode that are very fascinating as well. So we're going to cover two things in the next episode, both of which are events that occurred during this time that are kind of just kind of swept away to history and kind of just encompassed in, oh, that was just the Civil War. William Nelson was born September 27th, 1824 in Maysville, Kentucky. He was the third youngest son of Dr. Thomas W. Nelson and Francis Donovan, which honestly kind of looks like dolphin and threw me off. There isn't much I can find on his early home life, but he did attend the Seminary Maysville Academy and went on to enroll at Norwich University at 13.
I mean, finished up his studies.
2 years later, Nelson's training at the Vermont military school ended when Representative Garrett Davis secured an appointment for him to become a midshipman in the U.S. Navy. By the start of the Civil War in 1861, he was known as U.S. Navy Lieutenant William Nelson, and he served at sea for 12 years and 6 months.
Wow.
Had performed shore duty for over 4 years and served as an ordnance officer at the Washington Navy Yard by this point. Overall, he had 21 years of service in the Navy.
That's a lot of service.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be a midshipman, I mean, that's a pretty high rank.
Even though Nelson was a native Kentuckian, his service to the United States made him sympathize with the Union, and he joined the Civil War on the Union side. Even with an impressive military career by this point, Nelson was not going to be described as someone, let's say, that lit up a room. In fact, he had a quite controversial reputation. He was 6'4" tall and weighed over 300 pounds.
Oh, woof.
He's a big man.
Yes. And I bet he was intimidating.
And not like a overweight man, but like he was just
a big man.
And in the Navy.
Yeah.
At that size.
Yeah.
Is insane. I mean, usually Navy guys are not.
Yeah. He had a commanding presence.
Yes. And if it wasn't his size that intimidated others, it was definitely his polarizing attitude. Despite Nelson's controversial reputation, Major General Don Carlos Buell, commander of the Union Army of the Ohio, considered Nelson, quote, an officer of remarkable merit. Though often rough in command, he is always solicitous as well about the well-being of his troops, and was held in the highest esteem for his conspicuous services, gallantry in battle, and great energy. Another officer, Brigadier General Charles C. Gilbert, and Brigadier Commander of Nelson's division, called the general a, quote, energetic and wide-awake officer. Other Union officers, however, were highly critical of Nelson and openly disliked him. We discussed in the last episode the interesting nature of Kentucky during the Civil War. Remember, Kentucky was Switzerland. They didn't want anything to do with the war.
Right.
In fact, when Confederate troops fired on Fort Sumter, President Lincoln called for 75,000 troops to stop the South. The governor of Kentucky responded, saying, quote, I empathetically... Kentucky will furnish no troops for the wicked purposes of subduing her sister southern states. Because of this response, many thought that Kentucky was going to side with the South. With this concern, Nelson traveled to Louisville to try and persuade the governor to keep Kentucky loyal to the Union. Nelson reported on April of 1861, quote, never in my life have I seen anything like the excitement there is here. The people have absolutely gone mad. You can tell the president that I think Kentucky can still be held, but it will require exertion. On November 22nd, he urged the administration to arm loyal Kentuckians, but Kentucky officially declared neutrality in May of 1861.
They dropped a statement of neutrality.
They did. Surprisingly, Nelson's request was still granted secretly by the president.
Secretly.
Joshua Speed was a friend of Nelson's and also co-owned a grocery store previously with President Lincoln. Lincoln secretly shipped 5,000 muskets to pro-Union supporters in spring in Kentucky just in case they were needed later.
Ah, they had them at the ready.
Yep. Nelson was in charge of distribution, and 1,200 of the muskets went to Louisville while the rest were scattered across the state. Union supporters could buy them for $1. In July, Nelson was trusted again to arm citizens to fight in eastern East Tennessee and Kentucky. Nelson met with other Union supporters and appointed officers to take troops south. Those officers actually ended up being several of the other major commanders later on in the Union Army.
Oh.
And they also started recruiting soldiers. Nelson then established Camp Dick Robinson on a farm just north of Lancaster, Kentucky. This is where Nelson gained his reputation for being especially hard on recruits and a hard disciplinarian. Well, we've all heard the phrase, a mouth like a sailor.
Yeah.
And Nelson definitely had one.
Oh, no.
Well, the recruits weren't used to this, and so tempers flared frequently. In Nelson's manner, he didn't care. He would simply shrug and say, quote, war is war, and nothing will make one man march to certain death at the bidding of another but discipline. And without that, we cannot whip the enemy on one hand or protect our citizens on the other. One way or another, Nelson got things done. Shortly after the camp was established, Confederate Brigadier General Felix Zollicoffer.
Whoa, that's a name.
Yep. Proclaimed Nelson, quote, the most prominent man in getting up the threatened invasion of East Tennessee. By September of 1861, troops from both sides of the war started making their way into Kentucky. And the Bluegrass State was forced to break its neutrality, and they sided with the Union.
Dun, dun, dun.
At the same time, Union Brigadier General George Thomas assumed command of Camp Dick Robinson. Federal authorities thanked Nelson for his, quote, good service to the cause of the Union by the zeal and untiring energy he has displayed in providing and distributing arms to the Union men of Kentucky and in collecting and organizing troops at Camp Dick Robinson. Nelson was appointed Brigadier General of the Volunteers, and within a month he had established another training camp near his hometown of Maysville. Several prominent politicians urged Lincoln to send Nelson back to the Navy instead of keeping him in the war. They thought that his rough mannerisms would be better accepted by the Navy. William B. Carter was a prominent East Tennessee Unionist, and he told Lincoln, quote, we must have a competent commander. It is madness to entrust the control of military movements in East Tennessee to a naval officer.
I mean, that was derogatory.
A month later, Kentuckian Leslie Combs informed the president, quote, my friend Nelson is excessively unpopular with his command. Officers and men have been urging me to ask his withdrawal, but I was reluctant to do or say anything that might wound his feelings. His whole education and all his habits fit him for the sea, and I hope that you will give him a lift in his profession and transfer him to a ship.
In other words, we don't like him.
No, he was like, I love him. Don't get me wrong. He's great. I love him. I love him. All these other people don't love him, but I love him. But all these other people don't. I'm just letting you know, I'm just the messenger. I love him. They don't. I do. Keep in mind, and if he ever asks, I said I love him. Just make sure that is clear.
If anybody ever gets word of this, if he ever gets word of this.
I said nothing but great things about him. It is other people who said these things. And, you know, I think, because I would hate to hurt his feelings, because he seems like a very tender man, that I don't want it known that I was never a part of this. I only support
him.
But
he needs to go.
But these other people say he should probably go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just writing you to let you know what these other people are saying. I'm not saying this. Signed, me.
He needs to go.
I'm not even signing my name because I'm a little afraid. So.
Yeah.
Other higher-ups also wrote Lincoln calling for his removal, but Lincoln was so grateful to Nelson for holding on to their native states for the Union that he ignored all of the calls to move him at all.
Oh.
He was like, nope. He was loyal. He says. Yeah.
I mean,
in fact, Lincoln doubled down, and in February of 1862, Nelson and his division were sent to Tennessee to fight. After fighting in Tennessee for some time and operating in northern Alabama, Nelson received orders to return to Kentucky in August of 1862. Confederate forces were pushing further into the state, and Nelson was ordered to organize a defense. So all of this time, he's kind of going through, he's not making friends, which fine, but people generally are respecting him for the way that he controls things.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes it to Richmond, Kentucky, to see the new soldiers that he's supposed to take over. And he told the department commander, quote, I find that there is no discipline among these troops. Straggling, marauding, plundering is the rule. Good conduct, the exception. I find this town literally overrun. I have ordered everybody to their camps and shall enforce the strictest discipline.
You got to straighten them up.
Yeah. Nelson immediately asked to be transferred. He's like, I saw on TikTok the other day, she said, best believe if they shenan once, then they will shenan again. And
that's awesome.
This is, yeah. He was like, I want to be transferred. And they were like, nope, you're staying. So he was like, great. Cool.
They shenanigans all over the place.
They're shenanigans and then shenanigans again. So he was needed in battle and he had to organize all these troops. The Confederate had struck its 7,000 troops hard, and Nelson rallied around the 2,500 that were left, assuring them that he would, quote, show them how to whip the scamps.
Oh.
Scamp is such a fun word.
It is.
He allegedly whacked at least 6 soldiers with the flat of his sword. And rumors later swirled that he had fatally shot 2 others.
Well, I mean,
charging into the thick of action, which honestly, this kind of gives you like, he seems like one of those guys that like, don't mess with him. But honestly, like he probably has a funny personality, like attitude about things, but he's probably real dry. He said, as they were running into battle, he called to them, quote, boys, if they can't hit something as big as I am, then they can't hit anything. Well, later on in the fight, Nelson was shot in the thigh and taken off the field.
His thigh is probably massive. It's probably as big as other people's chest.
Yeah. And he was taken off, and then most of his army was captured. The Battle of Richmond proved to be one of the most lopsided Confederate victories of the war. Nelson barely escaped capture, but that evening he was taken back to Lexington, where he had the bullet removed from his leg. Nelson left Lexington and went to Cincinnati to recover. He had lost 82% of his army in one day.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a lot.
This is where our other player in our story comes in, Jefferson C. Davis. And despite having a very famous name in the Civil War, he is not that Jefferson Davis.
I gotcha.
This is Union General Jefferson C. Davis, who was described by another military colonel as, quote, a small, sallow, blue-eyed, dyspeptic looking man, less than 5 feet 9 inches high and weighing only about 125 pounds.
Well, I don't think this person who's describing him thought much of him.
No. However, this colonel also served in the same regiment as Davis and also said this of him. He was, quote, brave, quiet, oblonging, humorous in disposition and full of ambition, daring, endurance, and self-confidence. July of 1862, Davis got sick and left the South for Cincinnati. But when Louisville was threatened, Davis was sent to report to Old Bull Nelson, our friend.
Mm.
Well, Nelson told Davis to take charge of the civilian units, and Nelson expected those orders to be followed exactly. If there's anything that we've learned about him, he wants things done his way.
Right.
And he does not want any leeway given.
Davis, his way or the highway.
Davis thought it was beneath him to do this. When Nelson asked one of his officers how Davis was working out, the officer said, quote, General Davis must be worse, for he has been sitting on the heaters most of the time for the last 4 days. So essentially, like, he's just sitting, he's just keeping warm. Like, that's it. He's not doing anything. Nelson asked to see Davis immediately. The following is kind of a explanation of what occurred next. Quote, Davis arose and remarked in a cool, deliberate manner, General Nelson, I am a regular soldier and I demand the treatment due to me as a general officer. Davis then stepped across the door of the medical director's room, both doors being open, and said, Dr. Irwin, I wish you to be a witness to this conversation. At the same time, Nelson said, Yes, doctor, I want you to remember this. Davis then said to Nelson, I remand from you the courtesy due to my rank. Nelson replied, I will treat you as you deserve. You have disappointed me, You have been unfaithful to the trust which I repose to you, and I shall relieve you at once. You are relieved from duty here, and you will proceed to Cincinnati and report to General Wright. Davis said, you have no authority to order me. Nelson turned toward the adjunct general and said, Captain, if General Davis does not leave the city by 9 o'clock tonight, give instructions to the provost marshal to see that he shall be put across the Ohio River.
Oh.
Said, I said what I said. Go.
Mic drop.
You've been relieved.
Yeah. And see.
Yeah. Tensions between the two men increased, with each trying to get the other removed from command, until the morning of September 29th at the Galt House in Louisville. Nelson had eaten breakfast, and he was waiting for another general to arrive at breakfast as well. It's General Buell for anybody who remembers him from earlier. They were actually kind of friends and talked a lot, and they were kind of each other's biggest supporters. Well, he saw three men walk into the Galt House: Oliver Morton, Captain Thomas W. Gibson, and Jefferson Davis. Almost immediately, Nelson and Davis got into an argument. Davis began by demanding an apology. Nelson told him, quote, go away, you damned puppy. I don't want anything to do with you.
Oh.
Davis balled up a piece of paper and threw it in Nelson's face.
Well.
Showed him.
I mean.
Get a paper cut.
I'm going to hit you with that paper.
Well, Nelson slapped Davis in the face with the back of his hand.
Backhand.
Nelson then went to his room. Davis asked around for a pistol and got one from Thomas W. Gibson. Then immediately after, Davis went to find Nelson's room. When Davis arrived, Nelson was standing in the hall. Davis raised the pistol and shot Nelson.
Oh.
The bullet hit Bull Nelson in the chest and tore a hole in his heart.
Ooh.
Nelson still had the strength to make his way to the hotel stairs and climb a floor before he collapsed. By then, a crowd started to gather around him and carried Nelson to a nearby room, laying him on the floor.
I mean, because gunshot.
Yep. The hotel proprietor, Silas Miller, came rushing into the room to find Nelson lying on the floor. Nelson asked of Miller, quote, send a clergyman. I wish to be baptized. I have been basely murdered.
Oh.
Reverend Jay Talbot was called, who responded, and he was also a doctor.
That's good.
Reverend
Dual
is a doctor.
Purposes. Good, good.
Several people came to see Nelson, including the Reverend, a surgeon, and General Crittenden and General Fry. The shooting had occurred at 8 a.m., and by 8:30 a.m., William Bull Nelson was dead.
Oh, my.
Davis didn't run. And he didn't try to stay out of the hands of the law. He was taken into military custody immediately and confined to a room in the Galt House. Friends of Nelson wanted to see Davis hanged immediately. But ultimately, Davis was released. So you remember how I said some of these stories just kind of get swept under the rug and they're just kind of lost to just the Civil War.
Yeah,
that was just the war.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, was Davis saying you're welcome? What?
At the time, the Union was so desperate for experienced field commanders that they essentially pardoned Davis for the murder. There was no trial. And within 2 weeks of the murder, Davis had returned to duty. And it was like the murder never occurred.
Wow.
Nelson was buried at Cave Hill Cemetery. And on June 12th of 1863, authorities honored him by naming the newly built supply depot in Jessamine County, Camp Nelson. 2 months later, an escort detail removed the remains from Cave Hill Cemetery to Camp Dick Robinson that he had originally started. On March 8th of 1872, the family plot at Maysville Cemetery became Nelson's final resting place. Today, his memory is honored by Camp Nelson National Cemetery. But what about Davis? Davis was never raised from Brigadier General to the rank of Major General in the regular Army. After the Civil War, he returned to his permanent rank of Colonel. Davis continued in the military service until his death. He was the first military governor of Alaska after its purchase, and he died in Chicago in 1879, still with the rank of colonel. He stated before his death that it was because of William Nelson that he never saw promotion beyond a colonel.
It wasn't Nelson's fault. It was his own dang fault.
So that's the murder of William Bull Nelson.
So
never served for any of his crime. It essentially, like, it never happened.
So Nelson, he was never married or anything?
Not that I could find, no.
Okay, because I would think
he was career military. Like, he just, it seems as though he kind of just did his own thing. He would hop around from place to place, and that was kind of that.
Well, and I guess the reason I'm asking that is I would think that if he did have family, like close family, that they would have raised hue and cry, and maybe more would have been done.
Did. There's a lot to the story that can't be found just because it's not super well known.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly by things being named after him, like, it was very much for the people who cared about him. They were very much, you know, pushed into making sure he was remembered. But I mean, unfortunately, that's what happened.
Wow.
And he was murdered, and no one served for the crime of it at all.
That's sad.
I know. I know. It's crazy. And like I said, it's one of those cases that they're just like, oh, it was part of the Civil War. No, that wasn't just a part of the Civil War. Like, that was a murder. And it was an intentional murder. And
guess what? Murder is bad.
And he could have gotten, quote unquote, gotten away with it by saying it was a crime of passion, because it was a very, there wasn't any premeditation, it seemed. But even still,
the tensions, like, had been growing between them. So, I mean, I'm
there
sure.
There was a history.
Yes.
Even if it was a short history, there was a history of tension between the two.
Ugh.
And that's what happened.
Mm-mm.
So he was murdered, and
that's not cool.
No one served any time for it. They, from what I read, literally Davis was put into another hotel room, and they closed the door and made him stay in there for a while.
They put him in timeout.
They made him think about what he did for 10 minutes. And then he was essentially, like, in military custody. And then they were like, but we really need him, because we kind of need people to fight in the war, and we need generals, so we kind of need him back.
Mm.
Even if he murdered someone, we kind of need him. So, yeah, that's our case for this week. An interesting one. Like I said, the next one that we do, we're going to cover two different people that were also some interesting. We might have another spy.
Ooh,
to discuss.
I like spies.
So there's a few things that we'll kind of pull apart as well that also occurred in the same year. I mean, it's chaos down here, Tom. Civil War is just going crazy. It's everywhere. People, you know, we had the worst civilian casualty of the war in this year. There's just more and more keeps coming out. And we still have Abraham Lincoln as the president.
He has not been to the theater yet.
He's not been to the Ford Theater yet. So we'll see. And that will be probably a two-parter episode. We have another episode coming up that's also going to be a two-parter.
Ooh, I like the intrigue.
And it is a infamous, I won't say case, because there's not one specific case for this situation. It is, I will say, infamous does not even come close to how well people will know the names involved in it.
Oh dear.
And I'm just telling you, until we do it, I'm going to keep teasing it. And then when people hear what it is, they're going to be, oh man, I should have known. But that will be before we get to the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
Assassination.
So,
fascinating.
Proclamation. And, so that's going to be coming up. So we'll have a two-parter before we have the two-parter, involving Lincoln. So interesting stuff coming, coming down this way that we'll have to cover for you. So we have a website. You can find any and all ONUC information you're looking for, or One Nation Under Crime, pretty much anywhere you can find us, at ONUC Pod on Twitter. We're not super active like on social media just in general, but we would love to talk to you if you want to talk to
us.
We have a YouTube channel, and we actually get like some pretty nice comments in our YouTube channel. We get some not nice ones, and I deal with those as they come,
and we tell you to have the day you deserve.
Yeah. And then I get an apology, which is always funny. If you would like to help us out with the cost of making and hosting the show, you can do that on Patreon. But if you would like to help with the show for free, costs you free dollars and free cents, you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review.
Kayla does not have a speech impediment.
Nope.
Free, as free. In zero. F-R-E-E. That spells free.
$0. 0 cents out of your pocket. It just costs you maybe a minute of your time.
Correct.
We would greatly appreciate it. Those 5-star reviews really help us get noticed more by people who are looking for new podcasts.
Yes.
And we would love to add to our ONUC fam.
Yes. Tell your friends.
We appreciate you guys.
Tell your enemies.
Yeah. Well, yeah. As long as they're nice to us, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly.
So there's that.
Yes. I mean, doctor's offices, you know, just strike up a conversation.
You never know.
I mean, in the South, we do that.
Traffic. Who knows?
Grocery store line, if it's long. I mean, we talk to people.
We do.
If you're at Disney.
Well, I don't.
Well. Correct. If she's with me, she does, because I make it happen.
I don't, but I also have this very weird way that people tell me everything.
They do.
About everything.
It's interesting.
I had a plumber that I helped him through a relationship crisis. Had not even met him until he walked into my house. It's astounding. Really, my coworker goes, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But people feel the need to tell you their entire life story. I was like, which is really astounding considering I do not give off a vibe of talk to me at all. So we would greatly appreciate it if you would do that. Thank you guys for sticking with us.
It was
through.
Long, but we're giving the people what they want. Yes. Because y'all've missed us. We've missed you.
Well, and thanks for sticking through our lull.
Our hiatus.
We greatly appreciate it. Sometimes you need that time off. And especially with things that we both had going on, it was we needed some time. So, we are getting back to a regular schedule, but we appreciate you guys so much for listening.
Very much.
We will see you here, same time,
different crime,
in our next episode. And remember, there isn't always liberty and justice for all, especially if you're killed by another general in the Civil War.
Right? And there's a shortage of those, apparently.
Yikes.
Ugh.
We will see you next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.